Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Father Kieran Healy. Father Kieran directs a retreat house in Mackenzie Bridge, Oregon. His preaching today is entitled, Weeds Can Be Wonderful.
So the Gospel, according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have these weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you do pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Well, a wonderful image of our life in faith and in following of the gospel. But last Sunday, after Mass, a group of six of us, three visitors here at the retreat house and three Dominicans, went out to the back deck by the river and had coffee and a long overdue social visit. We maintained social distances, and before long, the conversation became quite spirited. We had not really talked, and so there were some new issues to discuss. One older layperson, who's quite well-read in theology, posed the question, "Will people return to the church after the pandemic is over?" This question has stayed with me all through the week, and today's gospel with someone sowing weeds in the field only intensifies my thoughts on the subject. I also like the admonition, "Don't pull up the weeds just now. If you do, you might uproot the wheat as well." So be patient, and before you act, give some thought to the consequences of what you're doing. Through the week, my thoughts go back to the church where I first became pastor. It was 10 years after II, and the large Seattle parish of Blessed Sacrament had many needs and opportunities. Our Dominican community also served the Newman Apostolate at the University of Washington, which was in the parish. So our parishioners came from all different kinds of backgrounds. To this day, the church has had a very active ecumenical and social outreach, and yet many, many worship opportunities. Each Sunday, the St. Vincent de Paul Society sponsors what they call the feed-in, which offers a full dinner for up to 500 to 1,000 people, depending on the time of year. On Sunday, many of the downtown missions are closed, and so there's this need, and especially in the big holidays. People in the big holidays would come from the Mormon church down the street and help us out with a meal. It was a wonderful spirit there. We had a very interesting mix of parishioners. And what I loved at the time was the variety of worship opportunities that we offered. Early Sunday, we began with Gregorian chant Latin Mass with a full choir, well-trained. Then the family Mass with gospel activities planned by the parents. Then, can I say it, a normal Mass with hymns. And then at noon, a Mass with choir and classical music. Then the day was topped off by a charismatic Mass on Sunday evening. The interesting thing is that the priest, who usually said the Latin Mass, Father Joseph Fulton, was also the most popular celebrant at the charismatic Mass. Quite a combination. As pastor, what I loved most was that our people could be satisfied by their own taste in worship, and yet were also proud of the variety that the worship tastes of their fellow parishioners were being met. This was something of a Catholic parish that is a universal experience. Well, after our conversation last Sunday, the question stays in my mind, will people return to Mass when our society opens up again? We shall see. But as I think about things, we might begin to be a bit more productive and proactive in our response to the needs of our people. Before any programs, I would look to the hymn words, "All are welcome in this place." Just now, we see some tension in worship communities over Latin masses, down-home, informal worship style, all the way to the most classical and formal worship styles. Perhaps there is a hint of an answer in the leadership we have been given by our present Pope Francis. Here is a man who is not frightened by variety nor unappreciative of the customs and privileges and individual of individual communities. After all, if we're to be a church worthy of the name Catholic, we need to appreciate and value the choices and genius of peoples everywhere on earth. We are really blessed to have a pope, as pope, a man such as with such vast and varied experiences. Yes, he's even made some mistakes as a young Jesuit provincial. With such a pope in place, we might look for a contribution of some sort of new evangelism that directly engages and challenges the modern life and all of its difficulties. Today's gospel admonishes us not to panic, but to gain wisdom from the wheat in the field and the wise farmer who realizes that patience and wisdom will lead him to a most effective and joyful harvest. The weeds of our time are abundant, but if we're honest, we need also to say that the opportunities for good are even more in evidence. In the U.S., we've experienced a shortage of priests, and during recent years have been blessed by importing priests from foreign lands. So we have in place people with a much broader sense of cultural values and diverse social and religious experiences and tastes than we would normally expect to have. I would like to see us draw on this response and on the parish communities that they inform to come up with a truly Catholic identity, all of us working together, an identity that could be attractive and effective well beyond our own borders. As we view what I see as the dismal failure of leadership and worldwide, we might come up with notions of community and moral values that would win attention across borders and shatter the narrowness and selfishness and fear that holds our politicians and nations in bondage. A church alive with attention to such changes could make a real contribution to this new consciousness and become a welcoming beacon to all who are finding a practical direction in life in the words and actions of Jesus Christ. But a further change is also necessary. In its leadership, the church must discover a new transparency, and here I rely heavily on the political framework of the Dominican Order. The church would need to select and elect its leadership from people at all levels. We need a political apparatus, probably democratic, that would allow parishes and dioceses to elect appropriate leaders and bishops all the way up to the Pope. Rome would not be a shadowy bureaucracy and a mystery, but a transparent governing body constantly refreshed with leaders from all over the world. Here I draw again from our Dominican tradition. No leader would ever serve for life, but make his or her contribution and then move on. We would actively draw on the richness and experience of all our people who would seek to further the vision and practice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there you have it. That's my dream answer to this question that's been annoying me all week and to our present difficulties in the long run. You can well imagine how I've ended up pastoring to a retreat community in the Oregon backwoods. Well, will people return to Mass? Yes, I believe they will. And you and I will welcome them with joy. God bless you as we face this difficult future together.